Hello, my name is Helen Moss, and I'm with the University of Oregon Labor Education and Research Center. And, you know, I just noticed that on my first slide, I don't have who funded this project, and it was NIOSH. It's a five-year grant, and we're starting our third year. You know, the title doesn't really explain what it's about, so this is helpful to have the second slide. What we're doing is we're looking at violence directed at the worker, which is really understudied in the home care area, a lot on the consumers themselves, but not so much on the worker. So what the study is doing is determining basically the risk and the magnitude, and then also developing an intervention. And we're still at this point determining the risk and the magnitude, and then hopefully moving into the next phase, which will be developing an intervention. And I put it in within the community, you know, participatory, submitted it here because it's been really, really crucial to have to partner. In fact, we would not be able to do this work if we didn't partner with SEIU, which represents the home care workers, and also the Home Care Commission and the Department of Human Services in Oregon. It would just be impossible, especially when we start to do an intervention. Before I have a lot of slides on how consumer-directed home care works in the unionization. How many of you are sort of familiar with how that went down? A few. Okay. Well, some of you are really familiar with it. Wrote books on it, in fact. Okay. I'm going to do it quickly. But basically, one of the things that was real important for us to do is to include in our advisory board the home care commissioners who are the employer of record, and I'll explain that in a minute, consumers or clients, the people who employ caregivers, so it could be, and who are receiving Medicaid to do that in one form or another, the workers, the union representatives, the case managers of the consumers, okay? And other staff who work at the Department of Human Services. And then we also have the training coordinator who works for the commission. Okay, so basically, you know, like every other place in the nation, we have an aging demographic and a desire and initiatives over the last 20, 30 years aim to reduce the use of institutionalized care, both for you know, seniors, but also persons with disabilities, and a real desire for individuals to remain in their own homes. Well, Oregon was a very, very much a pioneer and got in this area, and you know, they had got a waiver in 1980 to be able to provide services outside the institutional setting, and it was a lot, you know, cheaper for them to do this. Here are some of the benefits, you know, and very much true benefits. You know, it's a great program. Oregon's a great place to get old, really. Autonomy and independence for consumers of the services, you know, it improves their quality of life, and of course, it reduces cost to the state a lot. Now, part of the way that cost was reduced before there was unionization was really they didn't think too much about the worker in this equation. And that part of it, the workers were considered independent contractors. You know, when you were talking about the taxi drivers, I thought a lot about home care workers. But so it was very hard, you know, to do anything to make the changes. And, you know, it affected the quality of care because it was really low wage, right? And also a lot of turnover. So it was a joint problem. And in Oregon, there's about 10,000 home care workers that are paid through these Medicaid. This varies depending on, like, what the budget's like and how many service cuts there are to consumers. But that's about where they're at right now. So, home care worker organizing in one slide. So, pretty much starts in California. And basically what had to happen was the union needed to be able to even begin organizing. It had to do something about this independent contractor status. And so what they did was this idea of an employer of record for purposes of bargaining. Linda Delp, who's here with us, actually wrote a book about this. There's lots of really good information about organizing in the care. I think Carol Zabin has a recent article out too. Anyway, so I'll let you read up on that. But in Oregon, we also followed this path where we established a statewide home care commission for the employer of record. And the way this happened is really the unions had to partner with the stakeholders. And this, you know, this is relevant because these are the same stakeholders that now we're working with 10 years later. And so senior and people with disabilities advocates, all the different state agencies that are involved. And, you know, they were successful in, you know, bringing in the union, you know, and, well, first establishing the employer of record, bringing in the union. And over the last 10 years, you know, gradually, they didn't get everything at once. They've able to get better wages, a great deal of money for training, which they run through the commission. They have health care for workers who have 80 hours or more in a month, and also workers' compensation. Well, workers' compensation drives an interest in training the workers on health and safety, certainly by the people who are paying the claims, correct? So some of the earlier trainings were actually, you know, for home care workers around these issues were funded by that SAFE, our insurer, our workers' comp insurer. So they don't have the right to strike, and also an important thing is the consumer retains the right to hire and fire. Okay. Right now in Oregon, these are the topics that are offered. And the way it works is basically they hold trainings in the different areas. There's a training newsletter, the information's online, and these are all the different topics. Some of these topics, and they do get paid to attend these trainings if they meet the eligibility. Some of the topics up here have some small mention of violence against the caregiver. For example, dementia and Alzheimer's does a little bit. Bathing and grooming, there's, you know, bathing without paddles and that kind of stuff. But there's really nothing specific to it. And more important is there really isn't a policy of, well, what do you do when someone's being violent? You know, and it differs according to all the different situations. There, at the bottom, there's also now a consumer training that the Centers for Independent Living could do one-on-one. And actually, as we've been doing this work, we've realized we need them on board too. You have to train everybody in this equation. So the risk factors are going to be the work setting, pretty much the same as anybody doing community health where they're going into someone's house, but a little dicier because there's just not that administrative support. Or like an agency, for example, that does it as opposed to like the home care workers would have a supervisor, and they probably would even check it out, and they would have somebody to tell their, you know, if they're in a bad situation. And also, you know, the consumer many times has no experience managing an employee or their family members. So it's different. And also, you know, the home care worker can be, you know, fired pretty much for any reason by the consumer. It's consumer directed. Now, they don't lose their provider number in that situation, but still, it's a, you know, if you're trying to keep your health benefits, right, the incentive to leave a bad situation is pretty low. So other challenges. You know, when you saw up on the last slide fraud and abuse, they're not talking about abuse of home care workers. They're talking about abuse of consumers, which there should be, you know, protections. But, you know, the Adult and Protective Services doesn't apply. You know, you can't call them up with a worker problem. Very limited training initiatives in the sense that it's not mandatory. You know, Oregon's a big state. You know, to have enough trainings for all the workers all over the state is very hard, mainly due to money problems. The unintended consequences of HIPAA, they don't tell home care workers what that consumer has when they go in. So that's a problem. You understand why they don't, but it would be important to know that someone has, you know, dementia. Well, sometimes the consumer will say it, but not always. Also, there are a lot of times home care workers think they can't tell anybody anything that happens, which is not the case. But okay, so Medicaid policies, there's a lot of rules about when somebody can be taken off services, et cetera, if there is a problem. And of course, limited funding and the limited skill requirements and low pay for home. It's gotten better. They're up to about 10, 20, but it's still not great pay. So we did focus groups and interviews. And we had great turnout, and our partners were extremely helpful with the logistics. So first we did home care worker focus groups, then we did case managers and other staffs, and then we did consumer interviews. And we did a survey and got demographic information, and then within the focus groups, we had a guided discussion around definition of terms, you know, how often it happens, the impact, and then talking about training content, and then how they envisioned us delivering this training, which is another enormous challenge in a state as far-flung as Oregon. And we did this in another country, so that's why we're showing you where Oregon is here. I assume you all know. But I couldn't get that slide out. But this is where we did the focus groups, both for both. We did them in the same places for consumers, and then we came out, for home care workers, then we did the case managers. And, you know, Metro Portland area has like about 2.2 million people in it, whereas go down to Coos, another place, 15,000 people. So, you know, Metro Portland is the big place in the state. Okay, I gotta wrap this up. So I'm gonna skip this, you can look online. Just wanna say though, very, very bad violence examples in terms of, well, good examples, but bad situations, you know, guns in the home, you know, being shot with a BB gun, attempted strangulation, a lot of emotional abuse. In terms of sexual advances, you know, exposure to pornography, exposure to masturbation, exposure to nudity. And I don't mean nudity where somebody's taking a bath. I mean, there's no reason for this person to be nude other than to harass the person. Sexual violence, you know, up to and including rape. And what do people do about it? A lot of times, you know, they simply quit the job. Or, you know, they'll tell a case manager, but this case manager doesn't always know what to do themselves about it. And there's more consciousness of this issue than there would have been 10 years ago, right? That it's really an issue. But there's still a lot of, you know, that's just part of the job. Okay. So I'm going to skip through these. Hardly any training on it. Next steps. So the next step is we're going to do, because all of the stuff here is not random and can't really be generalized, you know, because it's a very limited number. So we're going to do a random survey. We're going to use home care workers to conduct peer interviews over the phone, which will be challenging because there are so many bad numbers on the list. And then we'll be taking on the challenge of coming up with content and how to do the delivery. We've got some ideas, maybe DVDs in addition, you know, that we mail out. Okay, so thank you. I think that's it. Yeah.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you. Let's entertain one question.
Linda.
Just one, Linda. Safety issues in it.
Right.
I think
we asked that in the focus groups, although, as I said, that's not really generalizable. I think that probably the percentage is very similar of family, and it's both protective, and it also can exacerbate the situation. It goes both ways, and what's tricky sometimes is it you know, the case manager's involvement with who the home care worker is limited too, because people choose family and friends, right? You know, and sometimes they themselves know that there's a problem here, but that's who that consumer wants. Does that answer it? So we're hoping to find out more about that.